B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Machnis Odom Peirosov Mipnei Ganovim. If a person has his fruits, his crops outside, and he's afraid that thieves are going to steal it, and then he'll have a loss, you're allowed to bring them in, even though it's a considerable effort, you're allowed to bring them into the house on Chol HaMoed. V'sheile Pishtoinoi Min HaMishra, and similarly he's allowed to lift out and take out his flax from the vat where he's soaking them, B'shul Sheloi Ta'abed, that they should not get ruined. On condition that you don't especially say, oh, that takes some time to bring in the fruits or to take out the flax. You know, I'll wait till Chol HaMoed where I've got more time than the rest of the year and I'll do it then. That's not allowed. But if you didn't intentionally push it off till Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed to prevent a loss. If somebody did do a malach on Chol HaMoed that he intentionally pushed off to Chol HaMoed and didn't need to push it off to Chol HaMoed, yevedu, then it shall be lost. You're not allowed to have any benefit from that malacha and from what you've done. Says the Gemara Tana, ubelvad sheyachnisam betzino l'teich beiso, we learned that when you bring in these fruits, you should bring them into your house in very privately. It shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be a public affair that people will know, because people might not know that the reason you're doing it is because the fruits, you're afraid of thieves or because things are going to get lost. They might think that you're just doing this work on Chol HaMoed and you're not allowed to do this work on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, do it on the quiet. Rav Yosef Havalei Kashuri. Rav Yosef had these large heavy beams. Eilin would be a mama, and he brought them into his house. He was afraid they would get stolen, lost, ruined outside. He brought them into his house on Chol HaMoed. Omar le Abaya. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, "Votanya, did we not learn in a brisa b'lvad sheyachnisam betzina b'tzeich beisei? We just learned in a brisa that you have to bring it into your house privately. Not, and here you did it in the middle of the day. Everybody could see what you were doing. Maybe you should have done it in the evening at night when there's nobody around." Omar le. So Rav Yosef explained to Abaya, "Tzino dahani yimamahu." Doing it on the quiet in the day, that means the way to do it quietly is doing it during the day. Why? Because there'll be an even greater commotion if I have to do it at night. Why? Kiven de belailo boye gavri yaseira. Doing it at night means I'm going to need additional manpower. Ubo madura maduchra denura, and I'm going to need these fire torches and avshamilsa, and there's going to be a large commotion. And therefore there's no benefit at all of doing it in the night. It's not less public and not less of a commotion than doing it in the day. And therefore, since I have to bring them in because of to prevent a loss, I can do it in the day. Continues the Gemara, v'shoyle pishtoyne min ha-mishra v'chule. We saw in the Mishnah, a person can take his flax out of the bowl where he's soaking them in order that it shouldn't get ruined, on condition that you do not plan to do it on Chol HaMoed, and you don't l'katchila push it off till Chol HaMoed, and if you did push it off to Chol HaMoed initially, then yevedu, you're not going to gain anything from it. The Chachomim said that it should be destroyed and you're not allowed to benefit from it. Says the Gemara, boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira the following question. Kiven malachti b'moed. If somebody did arrange and push off the work he could have done before Yom Tov, he pushed it off to Chol HaMoed. And we saw in the Mishnah that Yoyvedu, he's not allowed to have any benefit from it. Umeis, but then this person, he died. Maosh yiknesu bonov acharov. Do we punish the sons in his place and say, since this work with these items were done on Chol HaMoed, nobody, even the children, cannot benefit from them? Or do we say no, that the father is the one that did the work and he's the one that cannot have any benefit? And now that he's died, the children won't have a benefit from him. That's okay. So, im timtza leimar, tzoram oizen b'chir, kontzu b'noi acharov, mishum de isurav de oiraisa. So before we read this again, there are a number of cases where we know, we have sources that they actually penalized, they actually punished the children as well. And one of them is, if somebody cut the ear, making a blemish on this bachur, And if the Bukhair is not blemished, you offer it as a korban. If it has a mum, it's not brought as a korban. So if somebody cuts the ear, Tzoram Oizen Bukhair, he cuts the ear of the firstborn animal in order to prevent having to bring it as a korban, and then he can have personal benefit from him, from the animal. Then they gave a knas, they punished the son as well, and said even the son is not allowed to benefit from this animal. But that could be different, mishum de isura de iraisa, because it's also min ha-Torah to make a mum in the ear of a bechir. However, to push off work from before Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, pushing off to Chol HaMoed is not an isur de iraisa, because had he not pushed it off l'katchila to Chol HaMoed, in and of the work itself, it would be mutar on Chol HaMoed. The whole problem is just that he pushed it off. Pushing it off is not an issa d'oraisa. So maybe over there they'll say that even though the Chachomim said that the person who did the malacha is not allowed to benefit from it, but maybe his children can. Ve'im tim t'leiman, are you going to try and bring proof from a different halacha? That mochar avdei le'ivid keichovim, if a person had an eved knani, a goisha eved, who now is a slave to a Yisrael, all the while that he's a slave, he's got to keep some of the mitzvahs. He keeps the same mitzvahs that a woman is chayev to keep. After he gets set free, then he has to keep all the mitzvahs. But till then, he keeps the mitzvahs that a woman keeps. Selling this eved to the goy means that he's not going to do any mitzvahs now that he's supposed to be doing. So if somebody was mochar avdei le'ovid kechovim, umeis, and then the person who sold this slave died, konso, in the same way that we gave a knas, that we punished the person who sold the eved, then they also punished the b'noi acharov also. The way Rashi says here is that we force him to set the slave free, which means that even if he's going to get released from that goy that he got sold to, you won't be able to force him to work for you. And Rashi in the Ksaviyat says that, brings a Gemara in Gittin, that we force him to, that when he redeems this slave, you have to pay even 10 times its value and buy him back. But either way, there's a punishment that we gave the person who sold his slave to a goy, and we konsu b'noi acharov. So mishum de kol yoyma mafkalei mimitzvahis, because over there, every day that the slave is not under the, is not in the reshus, is not in the property and under the guidance of his original Jewish master, every day he's not doing the mitzvahs he's supposed to be doing. So that's more severe. Hochemai, but what would be the halacha here where somebody pushed off doing work for Chol HaMoed? What's the halacha? Do we say gavra konis rabbonon, that the punishment was on the person who did the malacha, who pushed off the malacha to Chol HaMoed, v'holeisa, and this person is no longer alive, it's not relevant, and his children, no reason they should be punished. Oidilmo, maybe no. Mamoino konis rabbonon, the punishment was that this item is not going to be benefited from. V'ho'isya, the item is still here, it doesn't matter who's going to benefit from it, this item is not allowed to be benefited from because a malacha was done with it on Chol HaMoed. That's the question of the Gemara. Omar Lei, so he answered back. This is Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zeira the question. Rabbi Zeira now answered to Rabbi Yirmiya. Tinisua will bring proof from a Mishnah. Mishnah Maseches Shvius. The Mishnah says, Sode shen is kavtza b'shvius. If somebody cleared away all the thorns from a field during Shemitah, Tizra lemoitza shvius, then he's allowed to plant the field after Shemitah. Nitaiva Oinadaira, if you improved the field with some heavy fertilization, or nadaire, which means that you penned some animals, you put some animals there in the fields in order to manure the fields, then loitizra la motza shvius, then you're not allowed to plant this field on motza shvius, because these things are avoidas karka, it's work done with and on the field, and you're not, and the Rabbanon said, even though the Melochas are only Melochas to Rabbanon, nonetheless, they gave a knas, that you should, a punishment and a fine, a penalty, that you shouldn't be allowed to plant in this field after Shemitah. V'omer B'yesi Bar Chanina, B'yesi Bar Chanina said, Noktinon, that the halacha is, that Heitiva, that if he did this Netaiva, if he fertilized his field during Shemitah, Umeis, and then this person died, B'noi Zoyro, his son is allowed to plant in the field after Shemitah. Alma, so what do we see from there? that l'didei kontzu rabbanon, that when the chachamim make a knas, it's only on the person who did the aveira, did the melacha. Librei l'kontzu rabbanon, they didn't punish his son. Hochanami, so too regarding doing pushing off work and doing work on chol hamoed, l'didei kontzu rabbanon, the chachamim only punished the person who did it. Librei l'kontzu rabbanon, they did not punish his sons. Omar Abaye, Abaye said, Noktinon, the halacha is that timei taharosov umeis. If somebody he took somebody else's fruits, somebody else's produce that was tohir, and he made it tomei. So even though there's according to the letter of the law, maybe it shouldn't be chayev because it's a hezek she'eino nikar. It's an unrecognizable damage. You can't see tuma. Nonetheless, the Chachomim said, why are you making your friend's things tomei? You have to pay for it. Umeis. But what happens if this person died? Then loy kontsu b'noy acharov. If he didn't pay yet for the damage he caused, his children do not need to pay for the damages. My tama, what's the reason for that? Hezek she'ein nikar loy shmei hezek. Because according to the letter of the law, an unrecognizable damage is not called a nezek that the Chachomim can force you to pay. Ledidei konsu, but they made a knas because you made your friends things that were tohir. You made them tomei, you have to pay for them. That was just a knas de rabbonon. Rabbonon librei, konsu rabbonon, sorry. Librei, loy konsu rabbonon. They did not punish the son with the same penalty, and therefore the son does not have to pay. Continues the next Mishnah. Ein loikhim batim avodim ubehema elo letzerech moed. On chol hamoed, you're only allowed to purchase homes, slaves, or animals that are going to serve you during chol hamoed. Oy letzerech hamoicher she'ein lo imayichel. If you know that the person who's selling it hasn't got money to buy food for Yom Tov, for chol hamoed for Yom Tov, you're allowed to buy something from him that you don't need on chol hamoed in order that he should have money that he does need on chol hamoed. Says the Gemara, Boy minei Rava mirav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman the following question. Schar pe'ula she'ein lo ima yoichal mahu. The Mishnah discussed, are you allowed to buy something from a seller that the seller needs money? Okay, so that we saw in the Mishnah that you're allowed to. What happens if there's a worker that needs money? Am I allowed to employ somebody to work for me for something I don't need l'tzayrich hamoed? But he needs the money for Yom Tov, for Chol HaMoed or for Yom Tov. Can I employ him to do work on Chol HaMoed just so he should have money to buy his way for Yom Tov, for Moed? And the Mefarshim explained, the Mukhiyasev explains that doing a melacha is a more stringent type of activity than just selling something. So even though the Mishnah says you're allowed to sell something that the buyer doesn't need L'Tzerech HaMoed, and the buyer is allowed to buy it because the seller needs the money, that wouldn't necessarily be proof that you can employ somebody to do work for you on Chol HaMoed if he needs the money. Omar Lei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, to Nisua, we'll bring proof from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Oy letzayrech hamoicher, she'ein lo ima yoichal. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us here with these extra words, she'ein lo ima yoichal? La'suye imay, what's it coming to add? Lav, is it not coming to add? La'suye schar pu'ula. That there is one thing, oy letzayrech hamoicher. If the moicher needs it, that means he needs to sell his wares, then you're allowed to buy from him. She'ein lo ima yoichal is an added case that not only if a seller needs money, you can buy from him, she'ein lo tzeirech hamoed, but so too if a worker needs money, he can do work that you don't need the work lo tzeirech hamoed. So you would have proof from the extra words in the Mishnah. Omar Lei, so he answered him back to him. Rava said back to Rav Nachman, you don't have proof from the Mishnah. Loi. Perushi komafarish, it could be the Mishnah is just explaining. If the seller needs it, why would the seller need you to buy something even though you don't need the thing you're buying on Yom Tov? Because the seller has nothing to eat. So it could be it's one case and the Mishnah is just explaining itself and not necessarily introducing a different case where a worker doesn't have food. Abaye is now asking a question from a Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, later on, we're going to see this on Daf Yud Ches. Ein koisvin shtori choiv b'moed. One's not allowed to write loan documents on chol hamoed. And if you want to lend somebody money and you need to lend it to him, don't write the document on chol hamoed. V'meinoi ma'aminoi. But if the person who's borrowing the money, if you don't trust him, oy she'ein lo ma yoichal, we'll have to understand what that means. But or, either, if you don't trust the person who's borrowing money, or somebody doesn't have what to eat, harei ze yichtov, you can write it on chol hamoed, you can write the document. Asks the Gemara, she'ein lo ma yoichal lasuyei mai. Then these extra words, she'ein lo ma yoichal, what's that coming to teach us? And here you can't say, like you said before, that we're explaining that im einu ma'amina, if I don't believe the person that I'm lending the money to, oy she'ein lo ma yoichal, which would mean that the person who you're lending the money to doesn't have what to eat, that's neither here nor there. I can lend him money. The question is, if I'm allowed to write a document, and if I don't trust him, I can lend him the money and write a document just because I don't trust him. Nothing to do with whether he has what to eat. So what would these words, oy she'ein lo ma yoichal, be teaching us? Lav, can we not assume that it's lasuye schar pu'ula, is trying to teach us that either I don't trust the person borrowing the money, and therefore I need to write the document on chol hamoed, or the scribe, the sofer, doesn't have what to eat, and therefore I'm allowed to write the document even though I trust the person who's borrowing the money. But I'm looking for a reason to give money to the scribe, to have money that he needs for Yom Tov. That's what it says. Oy she'ein lo ma yoichal. If the sofer doesn't have money, I'm allowed to let him write it on chol hamoed. Shma minos. You see clearly from here. And this was the Eis ve'Abaya. This was the proof that Abaya brought. And there was actually a question on Rava's question from Rav Nachman. What's your question? Schar pu'ula she'ein lo ma yoichal mahu. Are you allowed to let somebody do work that you don't need on chol hamoed just because he needs the money on chol hamoed? We have here proof from that Mishnah that you're allowed to do a melocha. You're allowed to ask somebody to do a melocha that you don't need on chol hamoed if he needs the money on chol hamoed. Moisiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is asking a question from a Mishnah. The Chachomim Oimrim. The Mishnah says that according to the Chachomim, Sholosh Umniyos Oisim Melocha Be'arvei Psachim. So here we're now comparing. The Gemara is comparing somewhat the Isser to do melochas on Chol HaMoed to the Isser of doing melochas on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach before Chatzos, we learned in Maseches Psachim that there were some places where the custom was not to do melochas on Erev Pesach. Now, and there are similarities, we'll soon see, between the Isser Melocha on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the morning and the Isser Melocha of Chol HaMoed. There are three types of craftsmen that are allowed to do the melocha on Erev Pesach in the morning. Hachayotim, the tailors, hasaporim, the barbers, vakoivsin, and the launderers. Hachayotim, why are the tailors allowed to do work on Erev Pesach? Shekein hedyet toifer kedarkei b'chol hamoed. Since there is a type of a form, there's a fashion that you're allowed to sew on chol hamoed. How? If you do it in an unusual way. And we saw this in the before on Daf Ches, we already learned about this. So since on chol hamoed you're allowed to sew, it has to be a hedyot, but you're allowed to sew, then on Erev Pesach you can sew even if it's a maisa uman. Anything that you're allowed to do in any which way on chol hamoed, you're allowed to do in any way on Erev Pesach. Hasaporim vakoivsin, and the barbers and the launderers, the same thing, shekein, because we're going to see on the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, haboyin mebdinas hayom, for those people who are coming from far away, from they were traveling, vayotzim mebeis asurim, or if they just come out of prison, out of captivity, mutorim, if they just came out and they didn't have time before Yom Tov to have a haircut, or to clean their clothes, or they came out on chol hamoed, then mutarin lesapir or lechabeis b'chol hamoed, they're allowed to have a haircut and wash their clothes on chol hamoed. And since there are certain instances that on chol hamoed you're allowed to wash and you're allowed to have a haircut, therefore in all instances you're allowed to do that on Erev Pesach. V'isol kedaitoch, Rishetus is asking, if what you're suggesting, that schar, according to what we just said now, that schar pu'ulo she'ein loy ma yoichal. Sorry, that if you say that on chol hamoed, any work, if the person doing the work needs the money, even though the person who the work is being done for doesn't need it letzeirich hamoed, but if the person who's actually doing the labor needs the money, it's mutar, then kol melocha is nami lishtaru. If so, there's no melocha you can't do on some case on chol hamoed. Because every melocha, there might be somebody who needs the money and therefore can do it for you. And we said that if any melacha that you can do in any which way on Chol HaMoed, you can do in any way on Erev Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, all melachas should be mutter, because all melachas would be allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed if the person doing the work needs the money. Says the Gemara, Maskif Lor of Papa. Rav Papa is now going to refute this question of Rav Sheshes. Elo me'ato, according to your logic, that we learn that anything that you can do some way on Chol HaMoed, you can do any way on Erev Pesach, if your logic is right, then elo me'ato, binyan, what about regular building? Lishtori, it should be mutter to build. Why did the Mishnah say there's three umnios, three crafts that you can do, which is chayotim, saporim, and kovsim? Why don't you add in binyan as well? I'm allowed to build. Shekein koisel hagoyel rishus harabim. We've already learned that a wall, on Dav Zayin, we learned that a wall that is leaning into rishus harabim, so he can demolish it, uboina, and rebuild it kadarka in a usual way, mipnei hasakana, because it's dangerous. So since on Chol HaMoed you can build a wall in that circumstance, then you can build on Erev Pesach however you want. And we didn't say that builders are allowed to build an Erev Pesach. Maskiflo, Ravina. Ravina is now also is asking a question on Rav Sheshes. Elemeato, according to you, Rav Sheshes, Lavlor, a scribe, Lishtori, should be mutter to anyone who's writing, should be a scribe, should be mutter to write on Erev Pesach. Shekein Koisvin, Kiddushei Noshim, Gitin V'Shoivrin. Because there are certain documents, which we're going to see on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Kiddushin, documents of Kiddushin, a bill of divorce, and Shoivrim, and certain legal documents, receipts, are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed. So they should all be able to write on Yom Tov, on Erev Pesach, sorry, because anything you can do on Chol HaMoed, you can do on Erev Pesach. Elo Omer Rav Ashi said as follows, Moed Arba Osor Koromisa. You asked an original question. Or more accurately, you, Rav Sheshes, try to determine from the halachas of Erev Pesach and the halachas of Chol HaMoed that they are interlinked with each other, and whatever is mutter on Chol HaMoed is also going to be mutter on Erev Pesach. He says, no, you've made a fundamental mistake, because the determining factor of what can be done on Chol HaMoed is very different to the one of Erev Pesach. Moed mishum tirchu. The main issue on doing work on Chol HaMoed is because of exerting excessive effort on Chol HaMoed, and they said you're allowed to do it in order to avoid losses. And there, Shor Rabbonon, the Chachomim said, to avoid a loss, you're allowed to work. Arba also brought an Erev Yontov, Mishum Tzorech Yontovu. On the 14th, on Erev Pesach, the reason you're not allowed to do melachos is because we want people to be able to be engaged in preparing for Yom Tov. And these three things, the chayotim, the saporim, and the kovsim, the tailors, the barbers, and the launderers, they are working because they are serving people to prepare for Yom Tov. Midi de tzairich Yom Tov, shori, only those things that you need in order to be able to prepare for Yom Tov, they are allowed to be done on Erev Pesach. But Midi delayev letzerich Yom Tov, but anything that you're not allowed, that you don't need for Yom Tov, even though there would be some way that on Chol HaMoed it would be mutter because of a hefsed, but lo yisharu rabbonon, it would not become mutter on Erev Pesach. Continues the next Mishnah, Ein mefanim mibayis lebayis. One's not allowed to move items from one home to another home, and that's even in the same chotzer, we assume, even in a different chotzer, and it's even from a home to a chotzer. Just moving around furniture is not something, or moving items from place to place is not something which is appropriate for Chol HaMoed. Aval, and this seems to be directly contradicting what we just said, and the Gemara is going to address that. Aval mefanehu lechatzeri, but he is allowed to take things from his home, his present home, to his chotzer. And we assume that it means even to a different chotzer. The Gemara is going to explain that not. The Gemara is going to explain, Ein mefanim mibayis lebayis means to a different chotzer, in a different chotzer, but mefanehu lechatzeri, but if it's in the same courtyard, it's not so much effort, it's not so clearly defying the spirit of Chol HaMoed, and then you're allowed to. But at this point, the Mishnah doesn't tell us exactly, and the Gemara is going to ask it as a question. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Ein mevien kelim mi beis ha'uman. You're not allowed to bring your vessels, your utensils that are have been at the craftsman. He's finished with it. It's chol hamoed. You're not allowed to bring them back to your own home. It's not necessary for chol hamoed. It's not itzerich hamoed. However, im choishesh lahem, but if you're afraid that either they're going to get stolen from the craftsman's home, or he wants his payment and you don't trust to give him the payment and leave your wares there, he may ask you for the payment again. Either way, if you have fear of leaving it there, then mefanon lechotzer acheres, then take your utensils back, take them from the craftsman, but try and leave it in a courtyard as close by to him as possible, and don't bring it all the way home. Try and minimize the amount of effort you're doing in chol hamoed, shelo letzorech hamoed. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is asking an apparent contradiction at the beginning of the Mishnah. Va'omras reisha ein mefanim klel. When it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, the opening statement, ein mefanim mibayis lebayis, we assume you're not allowed to move your items from one home to the next, from one chotzer to the next, or even in the same chotzer, ein mefanim klel, even in the same chotzer. And then you say straight away, avol mefanehu lechatzeri, you can move your items to your chotzer, and that seems even from a different chotzer. Well, make up your mind what's going on here. Omer Abaya says, save for us on lebayis shebachotzer. That when it says, avol mefanehu lechatzeri, it just means within one courtyard, you can move items from your home to the chotzer, to another home within the chotzer. However, the ratio that says ein mefanim mibayis lebayis is talking about to a different chotzer, and that you're not allowed to do. Continues the Gemara, ve'ein mevien kelim mibeis ha'uman, when the Mishnah said you should not take your utensils back from the home of the craftsman. Omer of Papa. If Papa says that Bodiklon Rava, Rava was testing us, he was trying to sharpen us, he asked us the following question. Tanan, we said in our Mishnah, ein mevien kelim mibeis ha'uman, that you should not take your items, your utensils, back home from the home of the craftsman. It's not a tzorech hamoed. Uraminhu, and this seems to contradict the Mishnah. Moilichin umevien kelim mibeis ha'uman. You're allowed to take kelim to the home of the craftsman and back from the home of the craftsman. V'afal pish einon tzorech hamoed. Even though you do not need it, for it's not a tzorech hamoed. And that seems to be completely the opposite of what it says in our Mishnah, that ein mevim kelim mibeis ha'uman. V'shanin onle. And this is what the Talmidim says, Rav Papa said, this is what we answered to Rava. That can, when it says in that Mishnah that Rava asked us from, that you are allowed to take to and from the craftsman, is Bar Ba'asa. Was not talking about Chol HaMoed. It was talking about the 14th of Nisan on Erev Pesach in the morning. You're allowed to do that. However, can B'Chol HaMoed. However, our Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, it's more stringent. Iboy Seima, another suggested solution. Indeed, they're both talking about Chol HaMoed. Can b'ma'aminoi, and our Mishnah is talking about that when you trust the Uman, if you trust him with your items, leave it there. Can, but that Mishnah that Rava asked us from is b'she'enei ma'aminoi. If you don't believe him, you don't trust him with it, then you're allowed to take it back. V'hotanya, and proof to this is from the following braisa. Mevi'im kelim, the braisa says, you're allowed to bring your utensils mibeis ha'uman from the home of a craftsman, kagoin, for example, those that you need over the Yom Tov period, which is a kad, to take a pitcher mibeis ha'kador from the home of the potter, v'kois, or a goblet mibeis ha'zagog from the home of the glassmaker. Aval, but loy tzemer mibeis ha'tzava, you're not allowed to bring the wool from the home of the dyer, because that's not a tzorech hamoed. V'loy kelim mibeis ha'uman. Nor are you allowed to bring the kelim from the home of the craftsman, because it's not a tzorech hamoed. V'mein loy mayoichal. But and if the worker, if the craftsman doesn't have money and he needs to be paid, noisa leischara, you can pay him. U'manichay etzli, but leave your wares in his house. V'meinu imamino, if you do not trust him to pay him and to leave your things in his home, manichoi bebayis asomuchloi, try and leave it in a home as very close to the home of the craftsman, but don't bring it to your home. V'mchoishosh lehem shemu yignavu, if you're afraid they might get stolen, mevien betzino, you can bring it quietly in private, besoich besoi, to your own home. So that's the braisa. So the Gemara's asked, Rava asked Rav Papa, an apparent contradiction about bringing the kelim from the Beis HaUman, and Rav Papa says that I gave two answers. So now the Gemara is saying, Toratzto mevien. I can understand because there was a contradiction. In our Mishnah it said, Ein mevien kelim. You do not bring from the Beis HaUmon, you do not bring kelim. And in that Mishnah that Rava asked from, it said that you're allowed to be mevien and meilichin. You can take it to the craftsman and bring it back. And the answer you gave was that regarding whether you can bring it back, it depends. Do you trust him? Do you not trust him? That's all fine and good regarding taking your kelim back. But there was a contradiction because over there it says you can even bring your kelim to the Umon. And in our Mishnah where it says you cannot even bring it back, of course you cannot take it to him on Chol HaMoed. So we have a contradiction. Are you allowed to take the kelim to the home of the craftsman on Chol HaMoed? And that it won't help you to answer, Mamino, you trust him, you don't trust him. No one's telling you to bring it to him on Chol HaMoed. Tiratzto, you answered, Mevien, Moilichin Kashya. We still have a question. What's with Moilichin? Diktoni, Ein Mevien, because in our Mishnah it says, Ein Mevien, you cannot bring from the craftsman your utensils on Chol HaMoed, the Kolchkein Chain Moilichin. And of course, you can't take it to him. Elo says the Gemara Mechaverto, the best answer is Kedushonin on Mi'ikora, is the first answer. The first answer that differentiates between the Erev Pesach in the morning, the Arba Asar, and Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to take to or from the craftsman. On Erev Pesach in the morning, you can take it to and from the craftsman. Continues the next Mishnah. Mechapin esakzios bekash, one's allowed to cover the cut figs with straw on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'abin, even thickened. And we're going to see in the Gemara, what does it mean, mechapin, and what does it mean, ma'avin? It means ma'avin seems to be more than mechapin. And we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what that means. Meichrei peiris, the people who are selling fruits, crops, ksus, or garments, v'kelim, or other utensils, moichrin b'tzina, they're allowed to sell in private on Chol HaMoed, l'tzorech HaMoed, whatever's needed for Chol HaMoed. But you shouldn't buy and sell things that you don't need on Yom Tov. Hatzayodim, the trappers, v'haddashushois, the grain pounders, v'hagrusois, the bean grinders, oisim b'tzina l'tzorech HaMoed, they can do their work on the quiet, just what you need for Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi says, Hey mechmiru al atzmum. And we'll have to see in the Gemara exactly what that means. What does it mean, Hey mechmiru? They were stringent upon themselves. We're going to see in the Gemara what that means. Says the Gemara, Pligi bo Reb Chiya bar Abba v'Reb Asi. Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Asi argued, V'tarveyu m'shmei d'chizkiyo v'Reb Yechonon. And both said their opinion, or they both said what they were going to say in the name of Chizkiya and Reb Yechonon. Chad Omar, one of the two, either Reb Chiya bar Abba or Reb Asi, said, that when it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, Mechapin, that you're allowed to cover the ktsiyos, the dried figs, Bekash, what does Mechapin mean? A klushe. It just means very sparsely, very spread out. Just you put a little bit of straw on top of the cut figs. And what does it mean, ma'abin? When Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'abin, you can even do ma'abin. Ma'abin means asmuchi. It means you can put a lot of straw. The straw is well packed together. It's much more of a thicker layer. The Chad Omar, the other explanation of the Mishnah, is mechapin means bein akluche bein asmuchi. Mechapin means you can cover the dried figs. It doesn't matter if you cover it with a lot of straw or a little bit of straw, you're allowed to cover it. When it says it, that Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'abin, what does that mean? Ma'abin oisa oisa kamin kri. It means not a thick layer of straw, it means a well-packed pile of these cut figs, which means that you take all these cut figs and you make them into a pile, and then you cover them over. Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'abin, you're even allowed to pile up these cut figs in order to be able to cover them like that. You're even allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. That's what it means, oisa. Oisei kamin kri, you make it like a pile. Tanina mihochi, we learned a brisa to this effect. Ma'avin oisei oisei kamin kri. What does it mean, ma'abin? It means that you make the figs in a form of a pile. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that second explanation of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Moichrei peirois ksus v'kelim, people who are selling fruits, clothing, and utensils. Moichrim b'tzina, they can sell just on the quiet. L'tzorech HaMoed, only L'tzorech HaMoed. However, the tayodim, the deshushois and the grusois, which is the trappers, the grain pounders and the bean grinders, they're oisin also betzina l'tzerech hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, hey mechmiru al atzmam, they were stringent on themselves. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Yiboy Elohu, hey mechmiru al atzmam, and it says that they were stringent. Does that mean delay of the klal? Does that mean that they were more machmir? The Tanakhama says that you're allowed to do these things, but tzina l'tzerech hamoed. But heim, certain people, they were stringent upon themselves and they didn't do it at all, even betzina. Oy dilma, or what does it mean? To have it of the betzina. Does that mean that heim echmiras atzmo means those people which the Tanakhama said you have to do it betzina? And what Rabbi Yossi was saying was that those people who do what the Tanakhama say and do it in private, they were being stringent upon themselves to do it privately. But in actual fact, the ruling according to the letter of the law is you do not even have to do it privately. You can even do it in public, in the open, l'tzerech hamoed. In which case, Rabbi Yossi, who says hey mechmiru al atzmon, means those who follow the Tanakhama, it's just a chumrah. And that means that Rabbi Yossi himself was more makel than the Tanakhama. That's the question. Is Rabbi Yossi saying that those people are machmir more than the Tanakhama or makel? Says the Gemara Toshima, Moichrei peiros ksus v'keilim moichrim betzina l'tzerech hamoed. Like it says in our Mishnah, the people who are selling fruits, clothing, and utensils are allowed to sell it on the quiet. L'tzerech hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi said, Tagrei Tveria. He was talking about the merchants in Tveria. Hey mechmiru el atzmam, they were stringent upon themselves, and he explains himself. Shelo yiu moichrim kol ika, that they wouldn't sell at all, even betzina. So you see clearly that Rabbi Yossi is saying that what does it mean, hey mechmiru el atzmam? That not that if you do it in private, it's a chumrah, and really you don't even need to do it in private. No. That you can be, they were machmir even more than the Tanakhama, and they didn't even sell betzina. Continues the Braisa, Tzidei Chayois, the people who are trapping the wild animals, V'oifois, the birds, the dogim and fish, Tzodim Betzina, you're allowed to catch them on the quiet, L'tzerech HaMoyed, on Chol HaMoyed, if you, for whatever you need for the Moyed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says that Tzidei Akoi, these catchers, these hunters, in from the place of Akoi, Hei Mechmiru Al Atzmam, they were stringent upon themselves, and again he says, Shelo Yiu Tzodim Kol Ika, they didn't do any of these activities on Chol HaMoyed at all. And there is an issue here, because these people who, according to what Rabbi Yossi says, they were machmir on themselves and wouldn't even do these things in private, in, on the quiet, then really they are preventing people from being able to have food for Yom Tov. And the Yerushalmi comes to town on that. Continues the Braisa, Deshushei, which is, you know, the wheat, the people who are pounding the wheat, Chilka, Tirgis, Vatisni, which are three different forms of pounding the wheat. We'll soon see what that means. That these people who are pounding wheat, either crushing them so that every kernel will split into two, that's chilka, split into three, that's tirgis, or split into four, that's tisni, we'll soon see. They would doishashin batzina, they would pound these wheat kernels in on the quiet, l'tzerech hamoed. Rabbi Yossi said again that the shushay tzipuri, these wheat pounders in tzipuri, hei nechmiru al atzmam, they were even more stringent. Shelohayu doishishin kol ika, they did not do this activity at all on chol hamoed, even the tzerech hamoed. Omar Abai is now explaining. What does chilka mean? We said that there were the deshushi, the pounders of the wheat, who would make these kernels into chilka, tirgis, v'tisni. What are they? Says Abaye, chilka means chodol etarti. They would break each kernel into two. Every one kernel was broken into two. And after that, they would soak these half kernels in water. Tirgis, what's tirgis? Chodol etlos. They would break each kernel, each grain, into three, and then they would soak it in water. Tisni is chodol la'arba. They would break one kernel into four, and then they would soak it in water. Kiosa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said that what is chulka? Chulka doesn't mean that you broke each kernel of wheat into two. It means kunsa. It actually means that spelt. They would boil the spelt, and they would do what it takes to prepare spelt, but they wouldn't crush it. Meisvei, So now the Gemara is asking a question on Rav Dimi from a Mishnah. What do we see in a Mishnah? The Mishnah says in Machshirin that the question is, at what point does the food items, the grains or any food items, become susceptible to becoming tummy? And we know the halacha is only when they come into contact with water. If it's anything that grows that has never been in contact with water or one of the seven liquids, then they are not susceptible to becoming tuma. So what do we see in the Mishnah in Machshirin? That chilka tirgis v'tisni, tmeim b'kol mokim. They are always assumed to be tummy because you can only ever have chilka tirgis and tisni if they are being soaked in water. And if they're soaked in water, they're susceptible to becoming tummy. So the Gemara is now saying, according to how Abaye explained, that chilka tirgis v'tisni just means you breaking it into one, into two, or into three, and then they would soak it. That's why we assume that they are to be tomei anywhere. This kashir, because they have become susceptible to becoming tomei because of the soaking. But according to the opinion that says that chilka is that they would crush the spelt, why are they tomei? Why are they assumed to be tomei? There's no reason in the world that they should have come into contact with water. Answers the Gemara, kagoin de miklophon. We're talking about that this spelt had been peeled. That's what the chilka is. Chilka means they are smoothed. How are they smoothed? By the peels being taken off them. And how do you take the peels off? Dilav de sharolu b'maya, if not for them being soaked in water first. Lehava mekalfa, you would not be able to peel them. And therefore, if you see these chilka, this peeled spelt, you can take it for granted that it's been come into contact with water, and therefore it's susceptible to becoming tomei, and you have to assume them to be tomei. Asks the Gemara, that according to Rav Dimi, v'amai kori lechilka, according to Abaye, chilka means that they're split, chaluk, they're split. They're split because every kernel of wheat is split into two. According to Rav Dimi, where chilka just means a grain of spelt, then why is it called chilka? Answers the Gemara, de shokal chalkihu, which means that by removing the peels, you've smoothened these spelt grains, and that's why it's called chilka, from a lashon of choluk, which is smooth. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. We learned in a braisa, hanoider min hadogon. If somebody makes a vow, makes a neder, that he's not going to have any benefit from dogon, from grain. Osur af bapula mitzri yovish, he's not even allowed to have a dried Egyptian bean. Umutr belach, but a moist one, he is allowed to have, because the dried ones are considered a grain, and the moist ones not. Umutr ba'oiras, he's allowed to eat rice. Bechilka, he's also allowed to have chilka v'tirgis v'tisni. Now the Gemara is asking, Bishleim elamanda oma choda letarati, choda letlas, choda larba, kunta abaya, who says that chilka is a grain of wheat split into two. Tirgis is if it's split into three. V'tisni if it's split into four. Then shapir. Then I can understand why you're allowed to eat it. Denofkulu mitoiras dogon, because it's not considered anymore a grain. It's been crushed. Elolamando amakunta, but if you say that what does chulka mean? Chulka means spelt. Dogon ma'alyahu. Then why is it not considered a grain, a dogon? Answers the Gemara Kashya. Indeed, it's a question, and the Gemara is choosing not to answer it here. Continues the Gemara, Rav Huna sharaluhu lehanu krufaisa. Rav Huna allowed those spice merchants, lemezal lizvune, to go and to sell their spices, ki urchayu, in a regular way, bashuka, in the marketplace, on chol hamoed. Esfer of Kahana, Rav Kahana asked against Rav Huna, that did we not say in a brisa that chanut, a shop, psucholor sitov, if the entrance of the shop is not into the public place, it's just to the sitov, to the bench area, poiseach v'noel kadarko, you can open and close his doors on chol hamoed as regular, because it's not open to the public in such a blatant way as if everyone come in and do all your shopping there. No, it's more discreet, it's more secluded. However, psucha l'roshos harabim, if the doors of the shops are open to the public place, peseach achas v'noel achas, they open one of the two doors, don't open both doors, because it's chol hamoed and people come in just to do a little bit of shopping, l'tzeirach hamoed, not more than that. Ve'erev yom tov achrin shel chag, but the day before Shmini Atzeres, moitzi, then He takes out all his wares, Umaatir Ashuke Ha'ir Baperis, and he adorns the marketplaces of the city with his fruits, Bishul Kvoid Yom Tov Achrin, in honor for Shmini Atzeres, and whoever's going to be buying there, everybody will see, and everyone will assume you're buying L'Tzerech Hamoyed. Says the Gemara, Mipnei Kvoid Yom Tov Achrin, in. You're only allowed to put out your wares like that if it's before the Yom Tov Achrin, the day before Shmini Atzeres. Sheloi mipnei kvoid Yom Tov, loi, but if not on the day before Shmini Atzeres, you're not allowed to. So how can you, Rav Huna, allow these spice merchants to go out and to sell their wares as usual? Answers the Gemara, loi kasha, it's not a question. Harba peri, when it comes to fruits, that you should just do on the quiet, unless it's Erev Yom Tov, because there people sometimes buy, could buy larger quantities, and if you buy larger quantities, people will be mistaken, or people will mistakenly think that you're buying even for after Yom Tov, people will buy for after Yom Tov, and therefore there's an issue with that, do it just on the quiet. Harbat Tavlin, when it comes to spices and things like that, where you only ever buy a little bit, these are things that don't last too long. And therefore, even when you're going round your usual way with your wares over Chol HaMoed, nobody is going to buy in the middle of Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov. We can assume that it's going to be only L'Tzerech HaMoed, and therefore Rav Huna said that these spice merchants and anyone who's selling wares that don't last very long, there you're allowed to sell it as usual. But the Peiros or anything that lasts longer, then you're not allowed to sell it in a usual way, but unless it's Erev Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, and then Mipnei Kvoid HaYom Tov, you were allowed to sell it, and people assume that whatever you were buying, then you were buying for Yom Tov. Hadron Aloch Mishahofach, B'Siyata Deshmaya, we finished Perek Mishahofach, and Mirtz Hashem, we're going to review on this Perek, and in the next year, we're going to start the next Perek, Perek Ve'elu Megalchin.